Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.org.
Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory, dear God, and we thank you that we can come and gather in your house and feast on your word. And I just pray that you minister to the hearts and lives of your people this morning, that you would have your way in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord one more good praise offering. Come on, Tacoma, make some noise for Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. Now you may be seated. Amen. Amen. It's good to see everybody here. Praise the Lord. It's good to be back here in Tacoma. It's been quite a while since I've had the opportunity to come. I think the last time I was here was in the year 2006, which was quite some time ago, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm usually not, but sometimes I am. But it's been some time. But it's good to be back. I've been over in Seattle. As some of you may know, you were there. You were there. And we had a powerful service Friday night. Last night, some of you that were there in Tacoma, we had an awesome service there in Seattle. And this morning it was packed out, and we had a great, great time there in your mama church. Amen. My mama church, my home church, is in Chino, California, which is the original Victory Outreach. And Pastor Sonny Argazzoni Sr., my spiritual father, he's no longer my pastor. It's his son, Sonny Jr., who's now taken over the reins for the last 10 years or so. And that's my wife and I, my family's home church. It's been our home church going on close to 48 years. Amen. I know, huh? Which simply means I'm old. Amen. But praise the Lord. I thank God that I'm a part of this ministry. My mom was one of the very first members in all Victory Outreach. Now, we have 30 churches, or not 30 churches, we have hundreds of churches all in 30 different countries, and my mom was one of the original members that started out with our founders, Pastor Sonny and Julie Argazzoni. My mom was a devout Catholic, as some of you know. I shared this last night, but she founded a little church in East LA called Victory Temple, or we, in those days, it was referred to as the Attic Church, and the building is still there, and she went there, and she met a young man, 27 years old, who was the very first drug addict ever converted and reached to the Teen Challenge Ministry under Dave Wilkerson. But God led him to come to California and to start Victory Outreach. Amen. And in those days, we referred to it as Victory Temple because it was just a church and we had one men's home. And that's the home I went into. Amen. Mucho años pasado. That means many years ago. Amen. And my mom was a devout Catholic. A sincere Catholic and very religious. She knew about God, but she never had a personal experience with God. And that's what Brother Sonny told her. He said, you need to meet Jesus. I know you know about Jesus, but you need to meet him personally. And that afternoon, she gave her heart to the Lord. And she said, but what about my sons? I mean, I'm here for them. And the pastor told her, well, I have an answer for you. I want you to start praying. There's power in prayer. Because I want you to start praying every day for your sons. God answers prayer. How many of you know God answers prayer? Yes. And my mom started praying and praying for her three drug addict sons. Me and my two older brothers who were heroin addicts and plus two son-in-laws who were also drug addicts. And of the five of us, I'm the only one still alive today. And that's by the grace of God. But my mom started praying, and here I am almost 48 years later preaching in Tacoma, Washington. Amen. All because of the prayers of a faithful mom. So, mom, don't give up praying for your kids. Don't give up praying for your family. God never gave up on you. Don't give up on them. Amen. God indeed answers prayer. Well, this morning, amen, it's a blessing to be here, and hopefully next time I come back, we'll have an old-fashioned revival here in Tacoma. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll have to come for a few days and like we did in Seattle, but it's good to come. And I hadn't planned to be here, but a couple weeks ago, I believe it was, Pastor John texted me, and then Pastor Eric called me and said, Brother Phil, would you be interested in coming to our 1 o'clock service? And I said, oh, no problem. My flight's not till 7 o'clock this evening. I head back to Los Angeles. And so I've spent my life from the pulpit to the plane, or the plane from the plane to the pulpit, or the pulpit to the plane. Amen. Whatever the case. Amen. And so this morning, or this afternoon, we'll get right to it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. There's a short verse there I want to start out with, and then we'll go to Genesis, the 17th chapter. But we're going to talk about the promises of God. Now, the Bible says here in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. And what that means is that God is faithful to his promises. My question to you this afternoon is, what has God promised you? In other words, what are you believing God for right now? A physical healing? The salvation of your family? A financial blessing or breakthrough? A breakthrough in your ministry? What are you believing God for? Well, from my experience, God fulfills his promises many ways. But from my experience, I've seen three ways God fulfills his promises. One of the ways is overnight, like right away. I mean, God gives you a promise and bam, he like FedExes it to you overnight. Now, that doesn't happen very often, but sometimes God answers right away. Wow, that was quick. Another way is God will give you a promise and it will unfold over time. For example, God gave our ministry a promise. God gave our founders and our ministry that we're all part of, that he's going to give us the treasures out of darkness, that he's going to raise up a ministry to impact the inner cities of the world. And I was in the men's home when God gave our founder that promise. And over these last years that I've been a part of this ministry, I've watched the promises of God unfold over time. And then the third way, and this is where most of us are probably at this morning, the third way that God fulfills his promise, he makes us wait. But we don't like waiting. We are a generation today that don't like waiting. We want everything instant, overnight, quick. Nobody still has dial-up on their computer. Now we all have download, DSL, broadband, right? Gigabytes on our phones, right? We want everything quick, now, fast. That's why the fast food industry is so lucrative. Because you can roll in, order, pull around, your food is done. You're already eating your fries before you leave the parking lot. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Amen. Huh? Right? But waiting is easy. The Bible says, those that wait upon the Lord, I'll renew their strength. Right? But still, come on, it's hard to wait, huh? Oftentimes, God gives us a promise, and many of you are waiting on the Lord. Huh? And sometimes it takes time. A good example of what I'm talking about is found in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter. Turn to chapter 17 of the book of Genesis, and it's the story of Abraham, or as in this case, he's referred to as Abram, or in Spanish, we say Abram. Abram. Genesis 17, and the Bible says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between thee and will multiply you exceedingly. All right. This is not the first time that God gave Abraham this promise. He actually gave him this promise the first time when he was just a spring chicken of 75. Genesis chapter 12. God came to Abram and said, I'm going to give you a threefold promise. Number one, I'm going to make you famous. I'm going to make your name great. Abram said, okay. Two, I'm going to make a nation out of you. I think that was kind of over his head. But here's what really got Abram excited. I'm going to give you a son. At that time, Abram, him and his wife Sarai, had no children. Now, there are many couples that live happy lives and are married that have no kids. It's not such a big deal, right? But in their culture and in those days, if you died without a son, your land, your property, your camels, your tents, your goats would not go to your wife. It would be lost. Huh? In those days, women didn't have the rights that they have today. So Abram really wanted a son real bad. And God said, I'm going to give you a son. In Genesis chapter 13, God reaffirmed that promise. God may not fulfill your promise today, but through this message, he might be reaffirming that promise. That, hey, your blessing's on its way. It may not happen today, but it's coming. Somebody say amen. All right. Now 24 years have come and gone. And Abram now is no longer a spring chicken of 75. Now he's an old turkey of 99. And the Lord came to him and said, I'm the Almighty God, which in Hebrew means I am El Shaddai. I am the mighty one of Israel. Another translation in Hebrew, I am more than enough. How many of you know this afternoon God is more than enough? Well, if I'd have been Abram, I'd have said, well, time out, El Shaddai. We need to have a talk. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting 24 years. You promised me a son, and I've got nothing to show for it. So here's the question. What are we supposed to do from the time God gives us a promise till the time he fulfills it? Well, in Abram's case, and I think it also applies to us, God gives Abraham two keys. How many? How many? Two keys. He says, number one, walk before me. Huh? Walk before me. Number two, be blameless or be perfect. Let's go back to the first one. What does it mean to walk before the Lord? Well, that means to live with a constant awareness of God's presence within your life. Now, we know the presence of God is here because we're in church. But when you go home, God goes with you. When you go to work or school, God goes with you. There was an astronaut named Colonel James Irwin. He was one of the last men to walk on the moon. And a reporter asked him, what did it feel like to walk on the moon when he stepped onto that lunar surface? He said, you don't want to know what I felt? The reporter said, yes. He said, I walked off that space capsule. I stepped on the lunar surface, and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. He'll even go to the moon with you. Huh? The question is, how? How do we walk before the Lord? Three ways. We walk with him. Huh? Walk with God. That means to walk in harmony with God. Like when you're walking with your wife, you hold her hand, arm in arm. My idea of walking with my wife is, come on. She's like, wait, wait. And my wife is always rebuking me, wait for me, wait for me. I go, but you take small steps. You're so slow. Amen. Huh? When you're fighting, when you're arguing, when you're not getting along, you're not walking hand in hand. Why? Because you're not in harmony. What God is saying there, he's saying walk in harmony. Like Enoch, the Bible says Enoch walked with God. He was so in tune with God that God said, you know what? You're too good for this earth, and pulled him home. You know, sometimes Christians die very young. And we wonder why. Well, it could be, I don't know, but it could be that God said, you know what? You're too good for this planet. I'm going to bring you home to me. Amen. How many want to go to heaven? How many want to go to heaven? How many want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. Not today, though. I can wait another 30 years. Amen. What does it mean to walk with God? It means to walk in step with God. The literal translation is to walk in step. Today's Veterans Day, right? We have any veterans here? Any veterans? All right. Give them a hand, guys. Out there? What branch? What branch?
Army.
Army? Yes, sir. And madam? Army. Three Army. Give them a hand. Amen. Happy Veterans Day. All right. Where did you do your basic? San Antonio Texas. Okay. Where'd you do your basic, sir? San Antonio, where'd you do your basic at? Georgia. Lord have mercy. And it was 8 or 9 weeks of basic training. And when you went in there, did you march in basic training? Like what, once in a while? Every day, huh? You marched every day. What's your name, sir? And where are you from? South Carolina. What part? Okay, so did you tell your DI, Listen, my name is Wayne, and I'm from South Carolina, and I'm going to march the way I want to march. I'm going to walk the way I want to walk. Doesn't work like that, huh? He'd hit you so hard, he'd kill your whole family. Come on, somebody. You marched in step. You walked in step. Why? They want you. It's called marching in cadence. Live, live. What do you say? What do you hear? Live. Right? Why? Because they're trying to teach you unity, togetherness, work as a unit, a team, a core. Come on, somebody. Huh? Are you old enough? Remember Gomer Pyle, Wayne? Remember Gomer Pyle? He was in the Marines, but he couldn't march in step. And there was Sergeant Carter always getting on his case. Why? Because Gomer Pyle could not walk in step. You'd be surprised how many spiritual Gomer Pyles there are. Come on, somebody. It means to live right. It means to stay pure before God. Somebody say amen. That's what it means. Not only are we to walk with God, we're to walk after God. Wayne, when the drill instructor said turn right when you're marching, what did you guys do? You turned right. When he said stop, what'd you do? In other words, you obeyed. Come on, somebody. God spoke to Moses. He said, hear my word and obey my voice. We're not only to walk in harmony, we're to walk in obedience to God. Somebody say amen. And then thirdly, we're to walk in God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That means to walk in fellowship with Christ. We're to walk in harmony, we're to walk in obedience, and we're to walk in fellowship with Christ. So what am I saying? What's the bottom line here? Here's the bottom line, guys, right? You're going to get your miracle. God's going to heal you. God's going to bless you and I. God's going to answer our prayer. But that's not of paramount importance. What's most important is that you and I live a life that is pleasing to him. Yeah. Key number two. God said, Abram, here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to be perfect. Oh, gee, Lord, I thought you were going to ask me to do something hard. Is there anybody here perfect? Anybody? Because if you are, get up here and tell us how you're doing it. Pastor Eric didn't invite me to come here because I'm perfect. Pastor John didn't install Pastor Eric here because he's perfect. Just ask Jessica, his wife. Amen. Pastor Sonny, our founder, he's not perfect. Trust me, I know the man. We're just men of God trying to be obedient to the call of God upon our life. But yet, let's be honest, there are some people on the surface, they appear to be perfect, huh? Like you see these models on TV? Well, you guys don't because no TV in the home. Better not. But you see these models on TV, ladies, they have perfect skin, perfect hair, perfect teeth, perfect bodies, and you hate their living guts. Yes, you do. But we know, come on, it's all Hollywood and makeup. Nobody, though it seems perfect, is perfect. Okay, let's try it this way. Don Larson pitched October the 8th, 1956, pitched the only perfect game in World Series history. 27 men up, 27 men down. No walks, no hits, no errors. It was done by Roy Halladay a few years ago, but that was in the playoffs, but it wasn't a perfect game. Well, the day Don Larson did it, the headline said, a day of perfection. The first line said, you can't be any more perfect than that. What they don't tell you is, on the same day, his wife filed for divorce, and he was hit with divorce papers in the locker room. No matter how perfect we think we are, how many know we still fall short? My son, Pastor Philip McCrew Jr., he's actually no longer our international gang leader. He's turning it over to a new generation. But when he graduated from, what do they call it, junior high or middle school here? Middle school. Very good, dear. Both. Okay. Well, in California, they call it both. So I guess it depends what district. But at that time, it was junior high. So we went for graduation. And, you know, as parents, we all go to these things. We take our kids, and we're sitting there. And the principal of the school gets up and says, before we give out the diplomas, we're going to give out a very special award. Well, I knew right there none of my kids won. I have PKs. What are PKs? Or preacher's kids. Huh? And when PKs aren't saved, they can be awful. Because they've grown up in church. See, when I got saved, it was all new to me. I'm like, what the heck is it? People getting slain? What is that? What is that? When I heard people talking in tongues, oh my God, they speak Hebrew here. I didn't know what it was. But my kids have grown up in this stuff. But then when they get saved, they become awesome. Look at Mitchell over there. Mitchell, Pastor Johnny's son. He's tremendous anointing upon his life. All right. So we're sitting there, and the principal says, we're going to give out an award for perfect attendance. Big deal. So the kid didn't miss school all year. Give her a ribbon and let's go. Come on. We're going to have a barbecue after this. Because you're sitting in a hot sun in the parking lot for graduation or the football stadium. And listen to this, Mom. This award was being given. This little Korean girl, that was the person. She had never been late, absent, tardy, out sick since preschool. I looked at my daughter. How come you can't do that? Because my daughter, whom I named after my mother, who was a saint. This little girl was a sinner. At 10 years old, she was lying Bo Diddley. Oh, my God. She made up illnesses that are not even in the books to stay home from school. I'm sick. I go, yeah, but you ain't got no fever. It's on the inside. I'm messed up. All right, get in there. You don't got to go to school. Isn't it amazing, Mom? Isn't it amazing how God heals at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? It's fascinating to me. That's really when we should pray for the sick. Because at 3 o'clock, my daughter would pop out of bed. Dad, can you give me a ride to the mall? Can you give me a ride? Wait a minute, you're sick. You stay home from school. You're sick. I know, but I think the Lord touched me. PK, huh? I said, listen, when God touches, he blesses. When daddy touches, he bruises. Get back in bed. Oh, by the way, they called for the little Korean girl to get her award. And guess what? She was absent. Oh, there's only one who is perfect. And he is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What God was telling Abram was, make a commitment to live blameless before me. Nobody's perfect, but we strive for perfection. But we still fall short. Turn to Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. I want you to read this. You're familiar with it. Either you read it or you saw the movie. The Bible says, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, they went before Aaron, Moses' brother. Come, make us a God that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, we do not know what has become of him. They got tired of waiting on the man of God. And they decided to take matters into their own hands. How many know sometimes when we take matters into our own hands, we cause problems. Instead of trusting God and believing. Mom, you can't save your son. You can't save your daughter. You can't change your husband. You got to just pray, be a good example, and let the Holy Spirit do his work. Somebody say amen. The Bible says that all those that coerced Aaron and pressured him to make him the golden calf perished that day. Why? Because they got tired of waiting on God. Now, I know and I realize that's an extreme example. Huh? The ground's not going to open up and swallow you up. But what I'm saying is, when we get impatient and decide to manufacture our own miracle, the results can be disastrous. Let's go back to our story. Genesis 17. All right, God tells Abram, I'm going to give you a son. Who do you think Abram told first when he got that promise? Very good. His wife, Sarah. He comes home. Honey, guess what? I got a word from the Lord. God spoke to me. Really? What did the Lord tell you? We're going to have a baby. We're going to have a son. And Sarah says, mira viejo. That's a Spanish term. She goes, listen, old man, how are we going to have this baby? Did God tell you how? How many know sometimes God doesn't tell us how? God just says, trust me. Lean upon me. Your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Just trust me. But we don't like doing that. We have to have control. Somebody say amen. So Sarah says, well, you know what? Since God didn't tell you how, I think we need to help God out. You know, there's an old saying. God helps those who help. Let's try it again. God helps those who help. You know, that makes a lot of sense. And that sounds very logical. But it's not scripture. It's not faith. Sarah decides to help God out. She goes, have you noticed Hagar, my maid? She's from Egypt, dark skin, dark hair, como chicana. Have you noticed her? She says, yes, you have, but that's okay. And I'm too old to give you any children. And even when I was young, I could not bear you a child. She's young. She can have a whole lot of puppies. But I think, because God didn't tell you how, I think you should go, I know we have kids here, but be with her. You know what that means, right? You know what that means, right? Yeah, you do. Yeah. Go be with her, and she'll give you a son. I'm not making this up. It sounds like a soap opera, like the young and the, well, how do you know? Lord, have mercy. What you doing in that home? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, leave him alone. I set him up. So I think you should go be with her, and she'll give you a son. So Abram says, well, if you insist. Notice she didn't have to twist his arm, huh? And so he goes and bees with Hagar. Hagar gets pregnant and gives him a son. And Abram says, I have a son. I have a son. I've been blessed of the Lord. And God said, no, you did that. You manufactured that. And because you did that, you're trying to rob me of my glory. As a result, I want that woman and I want that baby out of my camp. How many know this is God's camp? This don't belong to Victory Outreach. This don't even belong to the Monument Church. This is God's camp. Come on, somebody. We're on holy ground. That's why we got to live right, keep it pure, be a ministry of conviction. Amen. And God said, listen, whatever is not produced by the Holy Spirit has no business in the house of God. And so God said, listen, if I let you keep that baby, you'll be the proud father of one son. But if you let me do it my way. So then Abram said, well, then God, how are you going to do it? How does God give us his blessing? Go back to Genesis 17. Look at verse 2. We'll finish right there. Notice verse 2. He said, I will make, I think the word is make there, make my covenant. If you have NIV Bible, it should say the word confirm. I will make or confirm my promise with you. Make a note of the word make or confirm. Here's the actual Hebrew translation. Remember, the Old Testament is originally written in Hebrew, New Testament in Greek. The word for make or confirm in Genesis 17, 2. Here it is. Here it is. I will set in motion. The promise. I will set in motion the miracle. It's like if you're waiting on a FedEx package and you dial in the number, the tracking number, because you're not sure if it's going to come, but then the voice of the computer says, your shipment, your package was mailed, it was shipped, it's in the air, then you put down the phone, you're like, yes, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's in the air. I may not get it today, but I know it's on its way. Question, how does God set the miracle in motion? Well, for you, I don't know. But for Abram, I do know. He begins, watch this now, by changing his name. Abram, in the Hebrew, means what? Proud father. Exalted father. Like a proud dad. Right? Those of us that are dads, I have three kids. If you're a dad, you're proud of your kids. My son. My daughter. Those are my kids. I made them. Come on, somebody. So my kids, my son. I couldn't wait for my son, Philip Jr., to play Little League Baseball. And I remember his first time at bat, they put him in to pinch hit the last inning, and the game was on the line. And I jumped up, "That's my son! Come on, Mel! You can do it! Come on, you can do it! Don't try to kill it, just hit the ball, make contact," right? Just like we tell him, right? "Come on, Mel, you can do it!" 3 pitches. He struck out, we lost the game. I looked at my wife, "Did you see what your son just did?" But as proud dads, we're allowed to do that. And God's telling Abram, "If I let you keep that baby, you'll be the proud father of one son. Oh, but if you let me do it my way, I will take off the limitations. I'll remove the boundaries. I will multiply your seed as the stars are in the sky, as the sand is upon the earth. Generation after generation shall call you father." Galatians says, Paul the Apostle writes, "If ye be of Christ's seed, ye are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." We are the spiritual heirs of Abraham. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's why we sing that song. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one, and so are you. And we're not going to sing the rest of the song. That song is like a workout. Amen. So Abraham says, "But God, you still haven't told me how. Who are you going to choose to give me my son?" And God said, "I've chosen the least likeliest candidate, your wife Sarai." When she heard it, what did she do? She laughed. And as a result, God changed her name to Sarah. You don't need to turn there. You don't need to turn there, but it's there. As the keyword player comes real quickly, in Genesis chapter 21, God came through. In Genesis 21, after years of waiting, God gave Sarah and Abram a son. He was born. His name was? Very good, Isaac. Isaac had 2 sons, Esau and Jacob. God got a hold of Jacob, changed his name to Israel, gave him 12 sons. One of them was named Judah. And out of the tribe of Judah and out of the nation of Judah, God raised up the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. All part of the plan, guys. All part of the plan. God had a plan. Just like God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. If we're faithful to Him, He's faithful to us. Let's all stand this morning as the remainder of the worship team makes their way. Oh, hallelujah. What are you believing God for this afternoon? What are you believing God for? Are you believing God for healing? Are you believing God for restoration or deliverance? Are you believing God for a miracle? Well, this afternoon, God has a miracle for your life. God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. God wants to touch you. He wants to save your family. He wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out His blessings upon your life. But so many people lose out on those blessings. I heard Joel Osteen. I don't listen to him very often, but he was telling a story that caught my interest. I'm going to steal it from him. Talks about this man that went to heaven. And Peter or somebody was walking him around heaven. And there were all these big rooms. He said, "Whose room is that?" He said, "Oh, that's Charles Spurgeon's room, the great English preacher. Can I look inside?" He said, "Sure." He looked inside. The room was totally empty. "Keep playing, son, but just lower your volume. Keep playing, son, but just lower your volume. No, no, no bass, no guitar. Keep." And he says, "It's empty." He says, "Yeah." Goes a little further. "Whose room is that?" "That's the Oral Roberts room. Can I look inside?" Empty. "Whose room is that?" "The Apostle Paul's. Can I look inside?" "Sure, go ahead." Empty. Then he saw Billy Graham's room. Oh, man. Billy Graham. He just got here, yeah? That's his room. Open the door, totally empty. He said, "Where's my room?" "It's over here. Come on." Took him over there and opened the door. Inside the room are cars, bicycles, motorcycles, stoves, television, gold, silver, cash, clothes, suits, all kinds of stuff. Jewelry, diamonds, just stacks and stacks of stuff. He says, Why do I have all these things? And these great servants of God have nothing. Oh, they got their blessing. But you, because you failed to, this was all the things that God wanted to bless you with. But because you wouldn't wait on his promises, you wouldn't wait on his word, God kept the door closed. God wants to open up the window of heaven and pour out his blessing upon our life. God has a miracle for your life. As the worship team gets ready to lead us in the chorus, I'm going to open up the altar.